Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're today going to take up really part two, a reflection this week on St. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, which were given in the first reading of Mass each day. It's tremendously inspiring. It's actually a very short letter, just five chapters. Doesn't take too long to read it. I want to encourage you to take up the letter. You could read the whole thing in just one sitting in prayer in the morning or before the Blessed Sacrament or something, just slowly reading through it. And of course, then going back and chewing on it. Just take it deeper into your heart. Ask the Holy Spirit. And as you do that, things will emerge, like certain phrases or things will come to mind. The Holy Spirit will help you and He'll just kind of shine a light on it in a certain way that will draw your attention to it, and it will help you apply it to your life. And to be able to say, the reality that you're reading about in this letter is a reality that God wants to unfold more fully in your life and mine. And this word has power not only to reveal the mind and the heart of God, but has power to change us. It cuts right to the core and the heart of our being. And asking as we read, before you read the word of God, say, Lord, I pray that the surgical power of this word, this living word that you said is alive and cuts right to the very core of the human heart, right to the spirit, and manifests the intentions of the heart. Lord, I don't even understand my own heart sometimes. I need your help. Holy Spirit, reveal the condition of my heart before your word. Before you, help me see what you want me to see. Help me feel what you want me to feel. Understand what you want me to understand so that each one of us can become like you, Lord. Like these Christians, these new converts in Thessalonica had experienced in their lives. So we began by looking at just a few verses yesterday. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program, you can go to our website at Renewal Ministries. The programs are archived right there. You can also get them at Ave Maria Radio. Download them, but whenever it's convenient for you. If you go to our website at Renewal Ministries, there's a lot of wonderful stuff there that's free. Articles we've written, videos of all kinds, our YouTube videos, our television videos, that's all there. You can access it all for free. But if these programs, my program, Rachel Herbeck's program, my daughter's program, the videos we're doing, if you're being blessed by the ministry, consider supporting the work that we're doing in prayer and financial support. That'd be great. Anyway, so let's go on. Left yesterday in verse 4 was the last verse we looked at. I'll just read starting in verse 2, chapter 1, real quick so you can kind of catch up. So Paul is giving thanks, beginning the letter. He's writing to this small community. Who's this community? What are they made up of? Mostly converts, Greek converts, polytheists, and then a few Jewish people as well. And he begins, he said, "We give thanks to God always for you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith, your labor of love, and the steadfast hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brethren, beloved by God, that he has chosen you. For our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction." That's where we left off yesterday, that verse number 5. How did the good news of God, the gospel, the good news about Jesus, how did it come to these polytheists? Well, first it's the word, Paul said. He declares who is Jesus Christ, just like Peter did on the day of Pentecost. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Lord of all. He's at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. All glory in heaven and earth has been given to him. Mary's son, the man from Nazareth, is the Savior of the world who destroyed sin on the cross. And he rose from the dead and ascended into glory at the right hand of the Father. And the new humanity, the kingdom of God has now been established. And it's now the place of salvation. And Paul is bringing that message of what Jesus has done. So it came first in word, but it also came in power. Remember, Jesus said to the apostles that they were to wait, even though he was ascending to God the Father, even though they went through 3 years of catechesis with Jesus and personal discipleship under him, they still weren't ready for the mission that he was sending to. He said, no, you need to wait, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Then you'll be my witnesses. So the same with Paul. Remember his experience on the road to Damascus, the revelation of the Lord and the healing he ended up, you know, he was blinded, and the healing he experienced, and baptism, and the infilling of the Holy Spirit that he experienced. So he was given power. So the gospel is not just words, a letter, but it's living words that are animated by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit supercharges the Word of God, you might say. He fills it full. He energizes that Word and enables that Word to be like a sword, like a surgical cut right to the heart of each person who hears it, whose heart is open. And they experience that power when they heard it, because when the gospel is preached, the power of God goes forward. And what is that power? The dunamis, the dynamite. What is the dynamite? Acts the Apostles tells us it's the Holy Spirit. And so Paul says, yes, you experience that power that enabled you to see, to have conviction that what Paul was saying about Jesus is true. What Paul was saying about the condition of those who were hearing the word is true. What do I mean? Everybody, every human being, as Paul would say in different places, and Peter, we're dead in our sins. The human race is fallen. The human race is under sin. And sin is rebellion against God, and it leads to spiritual death. Jesus came to deal with those two realities. And then everyone is battling as well, whether they know it or not, understand it or not, against the world, the resistance, what Paul will talk about here later in the letter, the resistance to God in this fallen world, the demonic powers, the intelligent powers, Satan and the demons that are under his dominion are at war against people seeing the light of the glory of God that shines on the face of Jesus. He wants to blind people and keep them in blindness, so they continue to remain in a condition of slavery. And then, of course, human beings are susceptible to it because of the work of the flesh, the fallen dimension of the human mind, the human will, and the human emotions. So Paul is saying, it takes God's power to penetrate that. It takes a working of the Holy Spirit. It's not just a matter of being eloquent or having convincing logic, but it's the power of the cross of Jesus, who he is, what he's done, what he's accomplished, that gets communicated, and the Holy Spirit animates that word, making it possible for human beings, for our minds to be touched, our spirits to be touched, and have an experiential awareness and knowledge. And then he goes on to say, the power in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. It's the Holy Spirit working in us when we receive that word that gives us a capacity to be convinced, convicted, surrendered to the truth about what's being proclaimed. Paul is really talking about here the proclamation of the kerygma, the core message of the gospel, which among all the other important teachings and messages of the church, this is preeminent. The proclamation of Jesus and who he is, the declaration of the facts of what he's accomplished, who he is, where he is, and what he's doing, and what he's come to do for us. So Paul's rejoicing because he sees it. He goes, I know you're beloved and I know you're chosen. Why? Because the word came to you, number one, so God made that possible. And I see his power at work in you. I see the working of the Holy Spirit in you, and I see full conviction. You've entered the faith. You're walking in faith, hope, and love. And he said, you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord. As Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. We want to imitate Paul as Paul imitated Christ. And so Paul's saying here about this community, they saw the kind of man he and Silas and Timothy were, and those around him that were part of his entourage in preaching and coming to them. And they said, They believe the word coming through them. And you could see what's implied here, in my opinion, it's both the preaching of the gospel and authentic, transformed Christian life. It's being walked out. It's being lived. And they're seeing the reality of the gospel animating the lives of these brothers and sisters. So Paul says, and you became imitators of us and imitators of the Lord. You know, Jesus says, come follow me, walk in my footsteps. For you received the word in much affliction and with joy inspired by the Holy Spirit. So Paul is saying just the same thing that happened to him and Timothy and Silas and many others and Peter, and that glorious word they received, the gospel that brought about life transformation and new life in the Holy Spirit, it also came with a cost, much affliction. This is also a normal part of the Christian life. And in every generation, Christians, Catholics are tested. Are you living the kind of life that the fallen world around you rejects? Are you the kind of light that challenges people? Are you willing to share your faith, speak your faith, walk openly in your faith, knowing that if you do live it out loud, so to speak, and you're willing to talk about it, and you want to share the good news about Jesus with others, you're probably going to pay a price. Paul rejoices in it. He's very excited, very happy to see that the brothers and sisters, the new converted Greeks, the polytheists, and the Jewish community as well that was joining them, they're becoming brothers and sisters, and they're all experiencing affliction and a high cost for the choice they made. Paul's rejoicing in it. So as we read this, we can be inspired by their life, but take one more step and ask ourselves, where are we at? Have we ever paid the price, any price, for the gospel, for the claims of Jesus, for the way of life of the kingdom? He said, so he sees the affliction, but he also sees joy inspired by the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised joy. Paul spoke about it. The apostles speak about it. And joy is really, it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Living in the gospel, living in the Holy Spirit, living in the church, living in the Christian community, entering into the Word of God, frequent reception of the sacraments, experiencing the growing healing of God, the presence of God in our lives, experiencing the love of the brethren, all of that. The Holy Spirit is there. He said, if you just keep coming, I'll keep forgiving, I'll keep leading, I'll keep empowering you, and then before you know it, joy starts to emerge, along with kindness, gentleness, the various fruits of the Holy Spirit. And Paul's delighted. So you can see what a new and growing Christian community looks like. There's fruit. There's life change. There's new habits, new ways of living. There's a new heroism that emerges, clarity, joy, community. It's all there. And the more we dive into this, brothers and sisters, and ask for the help of the Lord for our parishes, for our own lives, that we can live this way to be a light to the nations and to bring the good news to a world that is desperately in need of it. God bless you. Hope you can join me tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.